Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. John Hancock filling in for Mark. But the good news for all of you is that Mark Reardon is back tomorrow. And he'll be with you. He'll have his Reardon Roundtable. It'll be good to hear that voice again. And we are joined right now by a great guest of the show, a good friend of the show, Jim Carafano. He's the Senior Foreign Policy Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And Jim, Secretary of State Marco Rubio had this to say earlier today.
I think what all sides would like to see is if we can make enough progress, we'll have a meeting. And I think it'll take that kind of meeting to bring this thing to an end.
Talking about a meeting between President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Let's start here. Is this likely to happen? And is it likely to happen in within the next week or two?
Well, if it doesn't happen in the next week or two, it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. We don't know, quite honestly, if Putin is still practicing rope-a-dope or if he is ready to just give up and make the deal that Trump had offered him all along, which is just a straight-out ceasefire. And I think we'll know this pretty soon. I can argue both parts of this. On the one hand, there are some signs that maybe Putin finally gets that Trump really means business. You know, for example, we don't want to tariff the Indians. I mean, we want to do a trade deal with the Indians. They're one of our most important strategic partners in the Pacific. So what do the Russians think when Trump is saying, look, I am willing to punish the Indians to send you the message that I am serious here? And then there's the arms flows and stuff. So I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that Trump is really serious. And now we'll find out if Putin is. And I think the president just, you know, like this guy, only this guy can do, really just kind of put the icing on it. But when he said, okay, yeah, I will meet with you after you meet with Zelensky. Hmm. Which I think is just kind of genius, because that really boxes Putin in. Because if he meets with Zelensky and Zelensky says, well, you know, the guy was a dork, then Trump will say, well, forget it. He's just trying to play me. So he's really kind of put Putin in the spot. And Putin does not have a lot of cards to play. His choices are to fight a war that he literally can never win. Now, to be honest, I don't think there's anything we can do with sanctions to force him to stop fighting if he doesn't want to. But he is winning a war that he can never win. You know, now they say that, you know, at the rate they're going to take him 100 years to conquer Ukraine. And in 100 years, they'll be saying it's going to take him 100 years to conquer Ukraine. Now, there are reports that the Russians are saying, look, just play for time, that we think we can win this war in 3 months. I think that's delusional. I don't know if Putin believes that or not. I will tell you that if he is not honest about coming to the table and doing a straight-out ceasefire, that he is going to get the wrath of the Trumpster on him.
Yeah, and it's quite clear that President Trump has become increasingly frustrated with Putin. He continues to employ those drone strikes in the cities and hitting civilian targets and so forth, war crimes. And you mentioned the idea of more sanctions on Russia, but is there anything, hasn't the Russian economy kind of, you know, weaned itself off of whatever America can do to it?
No, I mean, no, I think there's still a lot more pain that can be delivered to him. But I don't know if you can necessarily ever do enough to force him to stop fighting. Because, you know, remember, look at North Korea. North Korea is the most sanctioned country on the planet.
Right.
They're isolated. They are very poor. But yet they have the most advanced nuclear weapons program on the planet. Mm. The Iranians keep going. You can be a heavily sanctioned country, and as long as you're a dictatorship, look at Venezuela, and you control everything, you can make sure that in the end, no matter how little money is coming in, that the money you need for your stuff gets funded. And remember, Putin sets the pace of the war. If he doesn't have resources, he can slow down. You can't force him to stop, but you can make life a lot more painful for him, and the choices are he can find an endless war that he never wins, or he can work from a ceasefire and go from there.
They've taken just an awful toll on, well, both Ukraine and Russia, but Russia's military has just gotten beat to smithereens.
It has, and they keep saying, well, we're going to rebuild. But where's the money coming? Where are the money? Where's the resources and everything else coming from that? Well, and look what they're doing now, you know, to this. Is, you know, increasingly the Chinese are getting a lot of anger and pushback, and from their support for Putin. Now the Indians are feeling pain for this. So their friends are going like, "Hey, dude, you're not helping us out."
Yeah.
And what they're saying, this is the other thing, is yeah, the Chinese were happy to keep the Russians in the war. But what they're finding is it's not weakening America, and it's actually not weakening Europe. It's having the opposite effect. It's making the NATO front stronger. It's making the U.S. president more aggressive. And so rather than kind of distracting and weakening Donald Trump, the support for the war in Russia is actually has not played out well for the Chinese, other than they get cheap oil and stuff like that.
That's about it. Yeah. And where do the people come from? Because if you're going to take ground, and Russia's taken some ground in Ukraine, clearly.
Right.
But you can't do that with drone strikes. That takes people.
No.
And where are the people? At some point, don't you run out of dudes?
Yeah, the rate of life per foot that they are paying for to conquer a ground in Ukraine is on the scale of kind of like World War One scale. I mean, it's just in the many thousands to gain inches of ground. And remember, in some places they're losing ground to the Ukrainians. So it's not a winnable war. And anybody that tells you this is what Putin is thinking, I don't believe any of these people. I don't think anybody knows about Putin. But, you know, when they say, well, the generals keep telling them they can win this war in 3 months, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if he believes it or not.
Well, they thought they were going to do it in 2 weeks. They thought they were going to do it in 2 weeks.
I think it's very clear that the reason why we never won the war in Vietnam is we always refused to actually invade Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they could always turn in and get resources from the Russians and the Chinese, so they could fight on forever. It's kind of the same way here. You know, we're going to support the Ukrainians. Okay, the Chinese are going to support the Russians. But neither one of us are going to come in on the side of either of these guys and fight. And when Trump is in such a strong position, because he has crafted for the Americans a responsible position that all Americans are behind. I'm going to support them. I'm not going to abandon them. But, you know, we're not going to put American boots on the ground. We're not going to get involved in this war. And Americans are like, cool.
Yeah. No.
So of actually physically interfering in the war, Americans say, do whatever you want. That's a lot.
Yeah. And it's a winning position for the president. We're visiting with Jim Carafano, senior foreign policy fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Before we let you go, Jim, what do you make of Benjamin Netanyahu today saying he wants to fully occupy the whole of the Gaza Strip temporarily? How does that strike you?
I make it's like, what other options do we have? There is clearly only one path forward. The Israelis and the United States have to take over the humanitarian mission in Gaza and run it themselves, excluding the UN and everything else. And Hamas has to have no future governance role in the region at all. There's no other path forward, period. So, yeah, that's what it's going to take.
What does Hamas look like going forward?
It's one of those things where you can buy a company for 5 cents because there's nothing left but the brand name.
Yeah.
I think that'll be Hamas, because if the Iranians are basically decimated and they can't support you, right, nobody else is going to put their neck out for you. And the people of Gaza say, thanks a lot for, you know, destroying our land. We really appreciate that. I think Hamas becomes irrelevant. I think it's a thing that exists in name only. And then you watch, because then Donald Trump will start going to the Qataris and other people and say, hey, those Hamas guys that are living in the high rises, they got to leave.
Yeah.
And so they'll all be living they will be living in Tehran.
Do you find it as interesting as I do that Hezbollah was active early on in this thing and they've kind of disappeared?
The government in Lebanon just declared that Hezbollah had a disarm.
Wow.
I mean, that's where we are. I mean, it's the transformation that has happened in 6 months in the Middle East is beyond stunning. It's like if we took World War II and we compressed it down into 6 months. If they bombed us on December 6th and by June we were landing in Normandy, that's the pace of change that we've seen in the Middle East.
It's been absolutely overwhelming. And Netanyahu said he was going to bring overwhelming force to bear, and he has. And so it continues. Last thing, just going back to this Trump-Putin, what do you think the odds are that the two of them actually do sit down face-to-face in the next couple of weeks?
I can go either way on this. But, yeah, actually, I was trying to think of how to articulate this. But this is Donald Trump has managed to put himself now increasingly in foreign policy situations where the choices are he wins or he wins. Where he doesn't lose, right? So, like, when it came, should he bomb Iran? I was like, I don't care. If he bombs Iran, it's going to be successful. We're going to win. If he doesn't bomb Iran, the Iranians are going to bomb Iran, and we're going to be, and the Israelis are going to bomb Iran, and we're going to be win. And so now it's like, if Putin comes to the table and make a deal, we're going to win. If Putin doesn't come to the table, we're going to support the Ukrainians, and the Russians are going to lose.
There he is. Jim, I really... really appreciate your time this afternoon and your insight as always, spot on. We're grateful to have you. That's Jim Carafano, Senior Policy Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. We'll talk to you down the road, my friend. And he's gone. So we're going to step aside when we come back. Another bit of breaking news today, other than the fact Mark Reardon is coming back tomorrow on the Mark Reardon Show. State Senator Brian Williams from North St. Louis County, he's a Democrat, he announced today for St. Louis County Executive to oppose Dr. Sam Page in the August primary next year. We'll talk to Brian Williams next on 97.1 FM Talk.